Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
As I sit before this microphone this morning, my heart is heavy, heavy with concern about this great United States of America in which we live. I have read this morning the 136-page opinion published by Judge Von R. Walker of California concerning gay marriages. In California, Proposition 8 was approved by the voters, and it placed a ban on same-sex marriages. That ban was taken before Judge Walker to determine whether or not it was constitutional. Judge Walker gave an opinion, a written opinion, that proposition denied gay and lesbian relationships the full recognition of society and thus was unconstitutional. And thus the ban was overturned. I'd like for you to think about that for a moment. Like for you to take your mind back to the first century during that volatile time after the death of Jesus Christ when the spread of Christianity was great, where Peter and the other apostles and disciples had really made inroads into the Jews and Jerusalem and that area concerning the teachings of Christ. Now during that day and time, the great Sanhedrin court was the legislative, the judicial, the economic, and the religious controlling unit for the Jews. Whatever the Sanhedrin council dictated was a legislation under which the Jews found themselves in control. Now, the Sanhedrin Council had determined, and it was not a hard thing to determine, that this teaching of Jesus Christ would be the death blow to their position of power within that society. That this religion called Christianity would indeed be the death blow to the law of Moses that they had become owners of. And that this band of people going about Jerusalem teaching and preaching Jesus Christ were a real threat and they should be stopped. With that in mind, I'd like for you to turn in your Bible with me to the 5th chapter of the book of Acts. In Acts, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 12, with the context in mind that we have just talked about, the Bible says, "And at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. But none of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number. It was to such an extent that they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. And also, the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, and they were bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. But the high priest rose up, along with his associates, that is, the set of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy, and they laid hands on the apostles and put them in public jail. But an angel of the Lord during the night opened the gates of that prison, and taking them out, he said, "Go your way, stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life." And upon hearing this, they entered into the temple about daybreak, and they began to teach. Now when the high priest and his associates had come together, they called the council, even all of the senate of the sons of Israel, and sent orders to the prison house for them to be brought. But the officers who came did not find them in prison, and they returned and reported back. And they said, "We found the prison house locked quite securely and the guards standing at the doors, but when we had opened up, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them as to what would come of this. But someone came and reported to them and said, "Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went along with the officers and proceeded to bring them back without violence. You see, they were afraid of the people lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they stood them before the council, and the high priest questioned them. And he said, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Now I want you to look at one of the most important verses as it applies to your and my life today in our great country. In verse 29, chapter 5 of the book of Acts, in response to this demand by the controlling and legal body in the city of Jerusalem, who had just demanded that they stop doing what God wanted them to do and to do what man wanted them to do, Peter said, with the rest of the apostles, "We must obey God rather than man." I hope that I am a law-abiding citizen. I believe that God wants me to be a law-abiding citizen. I believe that the Bible teaches that in several places, most notably in the 13th chapter of the book of Romans. And I think that you would find with close examination, that most faithful Christians, when compared with the rest of society, would be the uppermost of the law-abiding citizens within this nation. But we are getting strange direction. We are getting direction from the courts that is from man and not from God. Are you familiar with God's stance, God's position with regard to homosexuality? It does not take comment, but yet just the reading of God's word. In Leviticus, the 18th chapter, and verse 22, the Bible says, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." In Leviticus, the 20th chapter, and verse 13, the Bible says, "If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, and they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." In Romans, the first chapter, beginning in verse 18, the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes have clearly been seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because though they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural cause of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. In Jude, beginning with the fifth verse, the Bible says, "But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he is reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Remember, if you would, the message of Acts, the fifth chapter, and verse 29. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, "But Peter and the apostles answered and said, we must obey God rather than men." There may come a time when our life of comfort is changed to a life of uncomfortableness, because standing for God is becoming more and more politically incorrect in our society. Listening to opinions written by high-ranking federal judges that fly in the face of clear biblical teaching is just another step in footprints that have been left before. Footprints that have been left by the Roman Empire, for instance, as they made haste toward believing in man and the debauchery that comes in discarding God. And thus their empire crumbled. And we see so many similarities arising and viewing the sunrise made by God, living upon the earth created by God for the enjoyment and benefit of man, looking at the many wonderful advancements and innovations of our day and time, the thought process comes back 2,000 years to the first century, when mankind stood in front of the legal authority of the day and was told to adhere, to believe, to change their life in accordance with what man wanted rather than what God wanted. It is incumbent upon you and I as we proceed through this life not to hide from, but to openly stand against these terrible, sinful actions that we see happening in our society. We must no longer be quiet when hearing about those things that are named in such a way as to defray the ugliness thereof. And when we hear those sinful things that the Bible talks about as being illicit and homosexual and against nature, when we hear those things described by the word gay, we have to be ready to show through an understanding and knowledge of Scripture how those things are not gay in any definition of the word. We need to understand, and we need to be able to stand for truth when discussing God's will concerning the morality of mankind. There is no such thing as a closet Christians. Christian is not a title, it's a lifestyle. And the more openly we see those who mimic those disastrous times of the past of sinfulness, the more we need to be strong and the more that we need to take courage in the fact that long ago the rhetorical question was asked that we must ask today. Should we obey God or should we obey man? The answer is obvious. We are told by the Apostle Paul that we will stand before Jesus Christ in judgment to give an answer for those things that we decide to do while in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. When we stand before the Son of God, who lived for 3.5 years upon this earth, giving his life that you and I might have the forgiveness of our sins, when we stand before him and his nail-scarred hands and the scar on his side, and we have our life presented before us as a reason being given for our eternal destiny, at that time we must have lived a life where the word of God was our direction rather than the word of man. There will be one of two verdicts given at that great day of judgment. One will result in an eternity of punishment. One where Jesus will rightfully say, based upon the life that you and I live, when living unrighteously, depart from me, you who work iniquity, I never knew you. For those that choose the broad road that leads to destruction, the gates will be opened, hell's mouth will be open, and an eternity of punishment beyond that which anyone can even imagine will begin for the unrighteous. It should gain attention in our mind. It should be directive in our purpose. It should highlight our attitudes and our walk. But then, when answering the question, should we obey man or God in a right way, and suffering through whatever consequences may come in standing for that noble confession while living upon the face of the earth, when doing it the right way, when that day comes and we stand before our beloved Savior and we hear Him say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of your Lord." All things that we have encountered, all hardships that we have endured, all persecutions that we have stood against will seem inconsequential. For the gates will open on that narrow road that leads to life, and heaven will be our abode. Heaven, where we can surround with those great and noble, spiritually minded and respectful and obedient people from times past, the throne of God, and sing the new song. When happiness will not be a fleeting thing, when tears will no longer flow down our cheeks, when the worried brow of today will no longer be an issue, when you and I face an eternity of happiness, the answering of who shall we obey, man or God, will be well worth any cost that we should pay. So then, the discouragement, the despondency, perhaps even the fear of reading that 136-page opinion written by Judge Von R. Walker, is just another step toward the place that I plan to go, that you and I have set our eyes on for our direction. And certainly, there may well be a law in these United States of America that will allow homosexuality. But my friend, that law is from man. It is not from God. That law will result in a victory for Satan, not a victory for God. And I want you to understand that anyone that supports in any way those who put forth that law, those who stand in positions of government to approve that law, as we support them in any way, we become partakers in their evil deeds. And indeed, we set ourselves in jeopardy of the judgment to come. We need, my friend, to think on these things. They are serious things. They are things of eternal consequence. Thank you for listening today. I pray that as we go forth in our walks of life, that we live in such a way where our light will shine brighter. The darker, from a spiritual standpoint, our nation becomes, the brighter our light can shine. For the contrast of light to darkness is always the greatest when the darkness and the light are the greatest. May we have ample opportunity, even unusual opportunity this week, to let a bright light shine, a positive light shine, a brave light shine for Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monta Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.